is always telling you, honor your mom and your dad. And I know that can seem annoying, but the reason why it seems annoying is not because of God. It's because of us. Now, as a dad, I will confess on behalf of all the parents and grandparents in this room that there are times when we have said this just because we're trying to get you to behave for once. Not because, you know, we really are trying to say what is supposed to, you're supposed to do. We do that too, where we're like, really, this is what's best for you, to honor mom and dad. But sometimes we're doing the, just be quiet and honor me. Come on, kid, right? But the main reason why this command and this reminder can be annoying to you is because all of us are born sinful. All of us have a predisposition towards all of God's commands to find them annoying. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, eating that fruit, it is counted as if we were the ones that took the bites. David writes in Psalm 51, verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." All of us are born with this sense that sometimes God's commands are annoying to us. They make us want to roll our eyes and go, oh, that again. I've heard that before. And that's because in our sinfulness, very often, in fact, probably most often, we don't like being told what to do. But let me point you, all of us, but especially kids, to a very important verse when it comes to how we think about God's commands. You don't have to turn there, but this is found in 1 John 5, verse 3. If you're taking notes, write that down, kids and adults. 1 John 5, verse 3. The Apostle John says this, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." Pause right there. Eye roll. Oh, I got to keep God's commandments. And then John says this, "And his commandments are not burdensome." Did you get that? Keeping God's commandments is how we show God that we love him, but also keeping his commandments is not burdensome. We could say it's not heavy. It isn't hard. It's not something that we find difficult. And you might be thinking, well, hold on. It sure is difficult to obey, Pastor. Well, let me make a distinction. It can sometimes be hard to choose to do the right thing. But actually doing the right thing is not burdensome. Choosing it can be. But actually doing it, it's a joy. It's a blessing, which makes it relatively an easy thing to do. Did you know that there was a time when the Apostle Paul thought about children in the church, specifically? We always read the Apostle Paul as if he's writing to these old fogey adults, and he's got these commands for them and how they're supposed to live and act. And us as kids go, well, someday that'll be about me. But there was a time, at least once, there's a few times, but one that I have in mind particular where he goes, children, your ears are supposed to perk up at that. He says this in Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then Paul cites a scripture to prove that what he's saying comes from God. He says, honor your father and mother, in parentheses, this is the first commandment with a promise. And then he keeps quoting the verse, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. The Apostle Paul quotes the fifth commandment, and part of the reason why he does is because, as he says, this is the first commandment with a promise. We have been through the first four commandments, and we have not seen a promise attached to them like this fifth commandment does. And the reason why is because obedience is a joy. Obedience is a blessing. So kids, the next time you hear this commandment quoted to you, I know you're going to be tempted to roll your eyes, and you might do it, but remember that your pastor is telling you right now that God says obeying him is not burdensome. It's a blessing. It's a joy. It leads to your joy. But there's another thing I want you to remember, and this is especially for us adults too. This command to honor your father and your mother is not a command given just to kids. It is a command to be obeyed by all of us. When Paul quotes this command in Ephesians 6, he's not saying that this command only applies to kids. He's saying it does apply to kids, but it's not limited to that. It applies to all of us. In fact, historically speaking, the church has used this verse to talk about all authorities in our lives. Church authorities, civil authorities, work authorities. But for tonight, I want to limit our thoughts to the family, since that is what the text explicitly is about. And really, I think what would be most fruitful for the bulk of our time is to simply consider the primary word of this command, which is that word, honor. The command says, honor your father and your mother. This is a fairly common word in the Old Testament. It's used in its various forms some 376 times, and 114 of those times it's used as a verb like it is in our text. The root meaning of it means weightiness or heaviness. 1 Samuel 4:18 says that Eli, the priest, was literally a heavy guy. This word was used to say he's fat. But we're not supposed to think of our mother and father as fat. That's not what's going on here. Rather, what it is we are to treat them as weighty, as important, as mattering. When this word is not being used as a verb, very often it is translated as the word glory. In the Old Testament, sometimes it'll be translated as great. These are the concepts that are connected with the idea of honoring our parents. And as I've already said, it's meant to tell us to treat someone as important, treat them with respect and with dignity. It means to treat them as valuable and as significant. But it's not just about treating them that way. It's also about, and more importantly, thinking about them that way. It's about training your mind and your heart to put parents, in this instance, in the category of admiration, of those that you admire, whether they are worth it or not. All of us admire somebody. For some, maybe it's a sports figure. For others, maybe it's an author or a movie star or something. Maybe it's a political leader or a prominent intellectual in our day. There's kids here, so maybe it's a YouTuber. We're Christians, maybe it's an influential preacher or a teacher. Whoever it is that you admire, imagine yourself meeting them. How would you treat them? How would you think of them? What is in your mind, and what is it that you would do when you met someone that you admired like that? That's essentially what the Bible means by honoring. And that is how we are to treat our parents, and more importantly, to think of our parents. Now, what does this look like lived out? When the rubber meets the road, what does it mean to actually honor mom and dad? Well, when you are a kid, we already saw this from Ephesians 6, what it looks like is obedience. But it isn't just the activity of obedience, it's the heart of obedience. Honor always involves the heart before it involves the activity. But it involves both. Colossians 3:20, Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Now, we are usually quick to think of some exceptions to that, like in everything, but. Well, let's let everything sit on us for a second, because it is all comprehensive, isn't it? We can't wiggle out of that. This means, kids, that even when it seems illogical, even when it seems petty, even when it seems like a waste of time or just super annoying, the way that you please the Lord in that instance is you obey mom and dad. Remember, sometimes choosing the right thing to do can be hard, but actually doing it is easy. It is a blessing. It is not burdensome. So kids, to obey God is to experience the blessings of God. Not because you have earned something and he's going to sprinkle some blessing on you. Not at all. But rather because he has designed life to work this way. And you're living life the way it was designed to be lived when you're obedient to mom and dad. Most often, what obeying God looks like for you children is obeying parents. So to put it all together, obeying your parents is the usual way that you obey God, and thus it is the usual way that you experience the blessing of God. That's how God has designed life to work. Now, parents, before we get all up on our high horse and say, told you so, kids, the pastor's telling it to you now. My poor children don't have both. They got a dad and pastor up here. Let's acknowledge that when Paul says those commands in Ephesians and in Colossians to our kids to obey, the very next sentence is a command given to us. I'll read them both. Ephesians 6:4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And then Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Okay, Paul addresses fathers specifically as they are the heads of the home, but in partnership with the leadership of the father, this applies to mothers as well. And the principle is this: we, as parents, are to make it as easy as possible for our children to obey us. This doesn't mean that we water down what obedience looks like. Rather, it means that we make obedience look logical. We make it look well-meaning and not trite. We are not trying to make our commands burdensome. Go dig a hole because I want a hole there. Now, there might be a time where you need to tell your kid that for some reason or whatnot, but if it's just because you're wanting to be cruel in that moment, you're not being a good mom or dad. If God's commands are not burdensome to keep, then we as parents should do what we can to make it so that our commands are not burdensome to keep. That is being God-like. That is being like Him. And if our children are to treat us with honor, then we are further obligated to do all that we can to be worthy of that honor. The command to honor parents is most easily obeyed when the parents themselves are honorable. Meaning, we as parents should do what we can to have their obedience to us motivated less by "because I said so" and more by "because I am worthy of your respect. I am worthy of your love and of your honor and of your affection." Now, sometimes we have to play the "because I said so" card. We have that right in the office of parent. God has given that to us. But we don't have to play that card every single time. It's a much better card to say, "it's because I love you. It's because I am worthy of that honor. It's because of the example that I have put before you. It's because I am a man or a woman of godly character." That should be the primary reason why our children honor us. Now, one more question I want to answer before we close, and it's this: Is there a limit to this command to honor parents? And I'm cheating because it's one question with two answers. So one answer is yes and one answer is no. Is there a limit to this command to honor parents? The way that we can say that yes, there is a limit is regarding when obedience to a parent would mean disobedience to God. And let me make it as plain as possible. If you're still in Deuteronomy 5, look at verse 17. It says, "You shall not murder." We'll consider that next time in greater depth, Lord willing. But follow me here. If a parent tells a child, "Go murder that person," is it right for that child to obey or disobey that parent? To disobey the parent, right? In fact, if we want to really wrap it around, the way to truly honor that parent is to not do what that parent just said. Because what that parent told you to do is to sin against God. And you would be helping your parent sin if you were to carry out that sin. Verse 19, "You shall not steal." If a parent says, "Hey, put those candy bars in your pocket, let's go," or something along those lines, is it right for a child to disobey or obey his parent or her parent in that instance? Again, we want to say the way to honor your parent in that instance is not to sin. Normally, the way God has designed it to be, your parent would never tell you to sin. But there might be instances where that does happen, which would be the only exception to this rule of obeying parents. The way to honor our parents right is to honor God first. Obeying our parents in a sinful command is not actually honoring to them in any way. But kids, let me warn you, if you want to make a case that your parent is telling you to sin, you're going to need a good lawyer. Probably not going to go too well. At least the ones in this room. So is there a limit to this command to honor parents? Yes, there is, in that we do not honor them through obedience when obedience would mean sin. That's also true, by the way, with any authority figure. The government comes and says, "Do this," which is a sin, "or else," we're going to say, "We'll take the or else." Your boss at work tells you to sin in some way, you're going to say, "You're going to have to fire me because I'm not doing that." This authority and obedience to authorities, that's where it breaks down in every sense, whenever sin is present. But there's another way to answer this question about, is there a limit to this command to honor parents? And it is the answer of no, because this command to honor parents never expires. Sure, it changes in its form and in its expression, but it never expires. We've already seen that the primary way that this command to honor father and mother lived out in the life of children is through obedience. It isn't just obedience, but it mostly is. But as children enter adulthood, the relationship between parent and child naturally changes. That is God's design, is that it changes. Some want to say that this occurs when a child gets married. And that's certainly true. Genesis 2:24. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife." There's a new relationship, no longer under mom and dad. I am stuck with her now. That's a good thing. But it's also true when someone is single, I think. Just to quickly make the case, 1 Corinthians 7, Paul commends the gift of singleness. And one reason why he does so, because if you are single, you are freed up to serve the Lord in more ways than a married person can. In unique ways than a married person can. I have a wife that I have to worry about. Okay. I have to care for. I have children that take my time and my attention. And it is a blessing. It's wonderful. It is a good thing. That's God's design. But sometimes God's design is that you would be single and that you would remain single through your life so that you can be devoted to Him in unique ways that I could not be devoted to Him. Now, if you're still under mother and father, doesn't that mean that you would be devoted to mom and dad? and not devoted to the Lord in those unique ways? Family and parents are not bad things. Paul isn't saying that. Rather, he is saying that there is a unique way to be single that allows you to serve the Lord in ways that those who don't have such obligations can. So all that to say, there is a natural transition that is to take place in the parent-child relationship where honoring no longer is primarily about obedience. Instead, maybe it's just about caring for them. Maybe it's about having affection for them or investing time in them, or you fill in the blank. Those of you with the gray hairs and the no hairs can be the ones that tell us this is what it's like as you get older to honor your parents. You display that. You show that to us. It seems to me, depending on the stage of life, depending on life circumstances, depending on relationship dynamics, and so on, the primary way that we honor our parents changes. But underneath all of it is the command, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, when Moses first brought these commands down to the people of Israel, there was an incredible vision being cast for Israel. Can you imagine living in a nation where everybody honored mom and dad? Now, this seems like such a simple thought, but imagine the ripple effect that that would have in all areas of life, in all areas of society. That's why in the New Testament, there's a few times where you're reading Paul, and he's got these list of sins. He's like, sorcerers and adulterers and all these big words. And then there's disobedient to parents. And you're like, what? That's in that list? That's why it's in the list. It's because if this is lived out in God's people, it is an incredible blessing to be a part of that community. In the Old Testament, an incredible blessing to be a part of that nation. And the church now, what an incredible blessing to be a part of a church where children honor mom and dad and where adults honor mom and dad. That is the blessing. That is the promise that is attached to this command. It's not God sitting up there with his arms crossed saying, as soon as I see you obey mom and dad, then I'll sprinkle some blessing on you. No, it's God saying, this is how I designed life to be lived. This is how it's supposed to work. And when you live in the ways that God has designed, there is incredible, can we call it natural blessing that comes from that. You know, Pastor James mentioned Percy Skinner this morning, and I had him down first in my notes, James. I just want you to know. Percy Skinner was here at RCC for a number of years. He passed away at 102. That's a long time. I remember when he turned 100, I grabbed all my kids and I made them come and shake his hand. You guys remember that? And I did that because I wanted them to remember that so that they can tell their kids someday, I shook the hand of a man who remembered the end of World War I. Get that? He remembers the bells tolling at the end of World War I. Alistair Begg tells us a similar story of doing this when a woman who was almost 100 years came to a service at his church, and he had his kids shake her hand so they too could remember that. And in reflection, one of his kids said this, that lady must have really honored her mom and dad. She had a long life, right? Well, the promise that God gives us is maybe not necessarily a long life. I mean, it can be that. But in general, when you live life the way God designed it to be lived, you live a life of blessing. And his commandments are not burdensome. Can you imagine a home, a neighborhood, a church, a city, a state, a nation, where people honor their parents? How many of society's problems would be solved with simple obedience to this unburdensome command. But what a blessing that we as God's people can see it for what it is, understand His good design behind it, and with the help of His grace and with His Spirit, live this out in our families. Not just as kids, not just as moms and dads, but as Sunday school teachers, as grandparents, as neighbors. This is a key to not only flourishing as a church, but even flourishing as humanity. May we be a people by God's grace who honor our God by honoring our parents. We are going to go to the Lord's table in a moment. So let me pray, coming out of this text and into the Lord's Supper, as we prepare our hearts for that. Well, Father, we are thankful for your good design for life that we see in your word. Sometimes it's a little trite, but there are those who say that the Bible is basic instructions before leaving earth. And we are thankful, Lord, that you have given us not only those instructions, but you've given us your Spirit to live out those instructions. But even backing up even further, the way that we have received your Spirit is through the gift of your Son who sent the Spirit. Your Son who came and became one of us and perfectly lived out all of the commandments that are found in your word, even this command to honor father and mother. Lord, we pray that you would make us like Jesus, that we too would walk in obedience to you and enjoy the blessings of what happens when we do that. And Lord, that we see that that is supremely true for us and possible for us because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, how he willingly laid down his life as a sacrifice, dying the death that we deserved, hanging on that cross in agony and in shame for our sin, so that on the cross our sin could be counted as his and his righteousness could be counted as ours, and a great, amazing, miraculous trade could take place. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for the hope that the cross gives us. And in these coming moments, as we remember and as we reflect upon the cross, we pray, Lord, that you would stir up fresh affections in our hearts for you. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.